वासुदेवायाम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। विद्वानपितं दनुजा कुतुम्बं पूष्णं स्वलोकाय न कल्पते वायि, यस्या परख्या विभिन्न भावास् तमा प्रपाद्येत यथा विमुधाम्। विद्वानपि तं दनुजा कुतुम्बं पुष्णां स्वलोकाय न कल्पते वायि, यस्या परख्या विभिन्न भावास् तमा प्रपद्येत यथा विमुधाम्। Please chant. Mataji, please. Vidvan, knowing the inconvenience of material existence, especially in household life. Api, although itam, thus, danuja, O sons of demons, kutumbam, the family members or extended family members, pushnan, providing with all the necessities of life, svalokaya, in understanding himself, na, not, kalpate, capable. Why? Indeed. Yaha. He who. Sviya. My own. Parakya. Belonging to others. Vibhina. Separate. Bhava. Having the conception of life. Tama. Nothing but darkness. Prapadyata. Enters. Yatha. Just as. Vimudha. A person without education. Or one who is like an animal. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O my friends, sons of demons, in this material world, even those who are apparently advanced in education have the propensity to consider, this is mine and that is for others. Thus, they are always engaged in providing the necessities of life to their families in a limited conception of family life, just like uneducated cats and dogs. They are unable to take the spiritual knowledge. Instead, they are bewildered and overcome by ignorance. Purport. In human society, there are attempts to educate the human being, but for animal society, there is no such system. Not are animals able to be educated. Therefore, animals and unintelligent men are called vimudha, or ignorant, bewildered, whereas an educated person is called vidvan. The real vidvan is one who tries to understand his own position within this material world. For example, when Sanatana Goswami submitted to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first question was, Kyami, Kenyamai Jare Tapatrai. In other words, he wanted to know his constitutional position and why he was suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence. This is the process of education. If one does not ask, who am I? What is the goal of my life? But instead follows the same animal propensities as cats and dogs, what is the use of his education? As discussed in the previous verse, a living being is entrapped by his fruitive activities, exactly like a silkworm trapped in its own cocoon. Foolish persons are generally encaged by their fruitive actions, karma, because of a strong desire to enjoy this material world. Such attracted persons become involved in society, community, and nation, and waste the time not having profited from having obtained human forms. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, great leaders, politicians, philosophers, and scientists are all engaged in foolish activities, thinking, this is mine and this is yours. The scientists invent nuclear weapons and collaborate with the big leaders to protect the interests of their own nation or society. In this verse, however, it is clearly stated that despite their so-called advanced knowledge, they actually have the same mentality as cats and dogs. As cats, dogs, and other animals, not knowing their true interest in life, become increasingly involved in ignorance, the so-called educated person, who does not know his own self-interest or the true goal of life, becomes increasingly involved in materialism. Therefore, Prahlada Maharaj advises everyone to follow the principles of Anashrama Dharma. Specifically, at a certain point, one must give up family life and take to the renounced order of life to cultivate spiritual knowledge and thus become liberated. This is further discussed in the following verses. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmili Tamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Pancha Kalpatrubhishcha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavinevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So in this verse, we had one more description of a foolish person engrossed in maintaining his family as it is all in all, as it is the main goal of life. Here in this particular shloka, he is called Vidvan, means the one who has knowledge, the one who is learned. So that means that he has some knowledge of Vedas, Vishwanachakri Thakur points out in his commentary. He actually knows the Vedas, but still he is acting only for the benefit of his own family. Still, he is in this Svya Parakya Bhava, in this consciousness of me, mine, and ours versus them, theirs. So this is animalistic consciousness. In spite of knowing the theory, he acts differently. So in the same way, I might know theoretically, I'm not this body. But if every time I have to go to a dentist, I shake like anything, that means that my realization is not very deep. So there is a difference between theoretical knowledge and realized knowledge. So our actions, our behavior and our consciousness are the real test. How much we have realized of all these things that we learn. Of course, theory is good. Bhakti Shastri and the other degrees, it's very nice. We need it. But we also need to realize these things that we are learning and practice in our own life. So what is the vision of one in the bodily consciousness? It's basically bodily consciousness with its modifications, manifesting as national consciousness, ethnical, racial, religious consciousness, etc., etc. So person thinks, oh, I'm an Indian, I'm American, I'm a Russian, I'm a German, I'm a this, I'm that. During the Second World War, Nazis had it with their fear. Somehow they dig up in Vedas some information and they called themselves Aryans. And they thought that everybody else, especially blacks, all color people, and especially Jews, should be gassed in gas chambers, killed to death. Because they were lower race, and we are the Aryans. So this is the way of thinking on one in this Svya Parakya Bhava. Also racial consciousness means one thinks the white people, they are the best. All color people, they are second class. Or religious consciousness. Nowadays it's quite present. The members of a certain religion, they want to have a holy war, so they just go and randomly kill the members of other religions and thinking that God is really very happy with their actions. And they think in this way they will go to heaven. But this is all illusion. So who is the example from the Shastra of a person in this bodily consciousness with the conception of me and mine? Well, the most famous, Gitanagaru? Yes, exactly. Dhritarashtra is the most famous person who had this consciousness. He favored his own sons over the sons of Pandu. And in this way committed unlimited offenses due to which the Kurukshetra war took place and millions were killed. Just because... But he knew the Shastra, actually. He was the son of Vyasadeva. So he knew that Krishna was Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, he had this attachment to Duryodhana, and because of this weakness of the heart, he acted in the way as he acted. But the result was not very palatable. For example, you have a child, and your child is playing at your home with a child or somebody else, his friend, and it's a lunchtime. So what do? You say to that your child's friend, you just go home now, it's a lunchtime, my child needs to eat. Or you feed both of them. The one who is in bodily consciousness thinks, why should I feed some child that is not mine? I should feed only my child. Or if two of them quarrel, do you favor your child or you are fair? So who is the person who is just exactly opposite to the Dhritarashtra, who is completely fair and equal and equipoise in all circumstances? It's Maharaj Yudhishthir. He was completely above all bodily selfish considerations. This is one episode in Vanaparva Mahabharata. It was during the 12th year of Pandava's exile in the forest. They were still in the forest, and at one moment distressed Brahmana came to them asking for help. What happened? The deer caught somehow with his horns, his Arani sticks, sticks that he used for yagya, and he couldn't perform his Agnihotra. So he was very distressed and he asked Pandavas for help. And Mars Yudhishthira said, no problem. So they all took their bows and arrows and they chased the deer, but somehow they couldn't catch him. So after some time, they all got tired, so they sat down, and Nakula, he climbed the tree, and in the distance, he saw some lake. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj told him, just go and fetch the water for all of us, we are all very thirsty. So Nakula, he went to the lake, and it looked very heavenly, and he was very thirsty, so immediately he wanted to drink the water, but then he heard the voice in the sky, this lake belongs to Mai. Don't drink this water. First answer my questions. But he didn't heed this warning. So he drank the water and immediately fell down dead. Since Nakula didn't return after a long time, Maharaj Yudhishthira was very worried. So he sent Sahadev to look for Nakula. So Sahadev went, but also he didn't come back. Maharaj Yudhishthira was growing more and more worried, so he sent Bhima. Bhima also left, he didn't come back. Yudhishthira Maharaj sent Arjuna. Arjuna went, didn't come back. Very worried now, Maharaj Yudhishthira went himself to the lake and he saw four of his brothers lying without any sign of life on the shore of the lake. He was very sorry. So tears were flowing from his eyes, but he was also very thirsty. So he thought, let me drink water first. By that moment, he heard that same voice, this lake belongs to me, don't drink the water. First answer my questions. So in contrast to his brothers, he heeded the advice. He asked, who are you? And the voice said, I'm the crane to whom this lake belongs. And actually there was some crane sitting on a tree there, but then the crane turned into yaksha, ferocious being. Okay, what are your questions? So yaksha started asking him different questions, and Maharaj Yudhishthira answered them one by one to the satisfaction of yaksha. So yaksha was very pleased, and then he manifested his real form. He showed himself as a Yamaraj, who was the father, actually a real father of Maharaj Yudhishthira. He was very happy that his son was so virtuous. So he offered him a benediction. Which one of your brothers you would like back to life? Without much thinking, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he said, I want Nakula back. And Yamaraj was very surprised. He asked him, why Nakula? Why don't you take one of your own brothers? Nakula is just your stepbrother. You have same father. Well, actually, your mothers are different and your fathers are also different. So why don't you take Bhima, who will be much more useful in the war against the Kurus, or Arjuna, who is also a great warrior? Nakula and Sahadev cannot be compared to them. Then Maharaj Yudhishthira explained. He said, both Kunti and Madri, his own mother and the mother of Nakula and Sahadev, they're both my mothers. I have to be equal to both of them. My mother Kunti still has one son left, one son alive, that's me. But mother, she doesn't have any sons. So that's why I want Nakula to be brought back to life. Hearing this, Yamaraj was so happy that he granted him benediction. Let all your sons, let all your brothers come back to life. So they all came back to life. So what were the questions that Yaksha asked Maharaj Yudhishthira? Some of the questions. One of the questions was, what is the greatest wonder? What was the answer of Yudhishthira Maharaj? He said, day after day, countless people die. Yet, the living wish to live forever. Oh Lord, what can be a greater wonder? So many people are dying at every moment. Still, those who are alive, they hope to live eternally. And one more question. What is the news? Answer. This world is full of ignorance. Like a cooking pot. The sun is a fire. The days and nights are fuel. The months and seasons are the wooden ladle, cooking spoon. Time is the cook that is cooking all creatures in that pot. This is the news. So all of us are actually in this pot, and we are being cooked by time. That's why Prahlad Maharaj, at the beginning of this chapter, instructs everybody, Kumarachrayat pragyo dharmam bhagavatam miha dulabham manusham janma tadap adruvam arthadam. He says from the very beginning of one's life, one should practice Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service. Because this human form of life, although it's very rare and temporary, it is very meaningful. So there is a sense of urgency to start devotional service at whatever point we might happen to be. There is one nice poem written at the end of the 19th century. It goes like this. When, as a child, I laughed and wept, time crept. When, as a youth, I waxed more bold, time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older, still I daily grew, time flew. Soon, I shall find, in passing on, time gone. O Lord, will you have saved me then? So, time is flying very fast. When it's still creeping, we might be laid back and thinking we have enough time. I remember when I was 14, I so much wanted to be 18, but these 4 years looked like 100 to me. It looked like a next lifetime. But now, it's just flying. So when time starts flying, are we going to worry about the things we are worried about now? Small things, everyday's worries. Why he or she told me the day before yesterday this or that? Why I'm paying electricity 8 or 10 rupees? Are we going to worry who is going to win the US elections, Hillary or Trump? Are we going to worry even if there is going to be Third World War once we are at the point of that? No, we are not going to worry at any of these things. We are not going to care about them because they're completely irrelevant at that time. But so why we are worrying now about these things? Why paying so much attention about petty things now? The reason for that is that we just don't have eternal, we don't have a right perspective. We don't look at ourselves as eternal souls cycling in the cycle of birth or death from the time immemorial. We're forgetting this, and that's why we're worried about these things. So once we understand how much time is valuable, we don't want to waste it anymore. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his collection of songs called Gitavali, he gives us very valuable instructions. I would like to read some of these shlokas. Emuna durlabha manava deho payaki koro bhavana keho evana bhajila yashoda sruta charame podibelaje. You have achieved this rare human body. Don't you care for this gift? If you do not worship the darling of Mother Yashoda now, then great sorrow awaits you at the time of your death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Why then do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? Jivana anihya janaha sartahe nana vida vipadabhar namashraya kori jatane tumi takaha apane kaje. You should understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and filled with various kinds of misery. Therefore, carefully take shelter of the holy name and remain always engaged in his service as your eternal occupation. So he is giving us an advice what to do at this point of life, whatever that point might happen to be. Jivara kalyana sadhana kam jagate asi e madura nam avidya timira tapana rupe harit gagane viraje. Desiring to show benedictions upon all living entities, this sweet name of Krishna has descended to this material universe and shines like the sun in the sky of the heart, destroying the darkness of ignorance. Krishna nama shuddha koriyapan judao bhakati vinodapran nama vina kichu nahiko ara choda bhuvanamaje. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of bhakti vinod. Except for the holy name, there is nothing within all the 14 worlds. So whatever our situation is, destruction is the same. Except for the holy name, there is nothing in all the worlds. Grihe tako vane tako sada hari bole dako suke duke bulonako vadane harinam korore. Whether you are a family person living at home or sannyasi living in the forest, constantly chant and call out Hari, Hari. Whether you are in the condition of happiness and distress, do not forget this chanting, just with your lips, with the Harinam. And just a couple of more. Jivana hoilo shesh na bhajile hrishikesh bhakti vinod upadesh ekbar nam rasa mature. Your life may end at any moment. You have not served the Lord of the senses, Hrishikesh. Take this advance of bhakti vinod. Just once relish the nectar of the holy name. Chant Radha Krishna and always live in the association of devotees. This is the only request I beg of you. Bhaktivinoda says, all dangers go away when I sing that holy name of Lord. So the question is, why are we not taking the shelter of the holy name, knowing all these instructions of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur? What are the reasons we are not taking the full shelter of the holy name? The reason number one, we are not really aware of danger that we are in. Something has to happen to move us. I remember some years back, one of my friends, he took me to see one astrologer, Baba. He was not really a typical astrologer. He would not ask for your birth details. He would just look at you and he would start speaking. He had a Gopal deity and supposedly somehow he was connected to the deity and he would spoke whatever the Gopal inspired him. So he told me some things that were true. I was caught. I was surprised. And then I got some trust in him. And then he told me, there's a great danger awaiting you. I see some accident. I see a lot of blood. I was scared to death. I asked him, what should I do? Please tell me. And he told me, if you chant the holy name constantly, he was a Vaishnava, if you chant the holy name constantly, Krishna will come and he will save you. And because I was scared, I took that advice seriously. So I chanted a lot, much more than I used to chant before. I really increased because I was scared. And some months after that, I went back to America. And then one morning there, I was supposed to go from San Diego to LA to pick up some books from the BBT. Before leaving, a couple of devotees, they warned me, drive carefully. I thought, why they're warning me? I drove on that road so many times. I know the road, just no problem. So I started driving. Maybe 10 minutes after the start, somehow I was not really attentive and present. I was tired, I didn't sleep well previous night. And I was driving fast because I was late. And then at one point, maybe 50 meters, 100 meters before me, I saw the red light. Somehow I didn't see it before. So I screamed as much as I could, Krishna, and I pressed the brakes. And I stopped, and just 1 inch in front of me, huge lorry truck, just went past by. It took me a few minutes to come back to my senses. But I'm convinced if I had not chanted seriously, I might have died, or God knows what could happen. But the point is that always Krishna needs to wakes us up with something, then we become serious. The other option is that we become serious by ourselves. Second reason why we're not taking surrendering to the holy name so seriously is that we just don't have enough faith in the holy name. Theoretically, yes, we say, yeah, Harinam, Hare Krishna, but not really enough faith. Prabhupada, when he arrived at Boston, he wrote in his Jaladutta diary, I have no faith. I have no knowledge, I have no devotion, but I have firm faith in the holy name of Krishna. That was his realization. He had a full faith in the holy name of Krishna. And as the result of that faith, all of us are now here, so we can see what the real faith can do. Third reason why we not taking surrendering to the holy name so seriously is some sort of complacency. Sometimes we hear the statements, oh, going back to Godhead, it's easy, no problem, Prabhu. Just follow 4X and chant 16 rounds. You're sure to go back, Prabhupada said. Is it really like that? Quoting some Prabhupada statements that were spoken at a certain time, place, and circumstances to certain individuals and making them absolute. I don't think it's like that. It's not that at the gate of Vaikuntha, the gatekeeper is waiting. So after that, we just come there and we show our membership card. This is ISKCON Mayapur. He looks at that, 16 rounds, 4X. You are good. But then he remembers, what about your morning program attendance sheet? Sorry, you cannot go. No, it's not like that. In order to go back to Godhead, even if by that we mean Vaikuntha liberation, even if we mean Sarupya, Sarshti, Sayujya and Samipya, four types of liberation in Vaikuntha, even for that we need to attain Vaikuntha Prema, which is very high. We need to be clean from all anarthas. Person who is full of lust, anger, greed, cannot just go to Vaikuntha. regardless of how many rounds he chanted, it's not a matter of numbers. It's a matter of whether we attain perfection or not. So perfection generally can be attained by two ways, two paths. One is called sadhana siddha, by practice of sadhana. Another one is called kripa siddha, by causeless mercy of a devotee or Krishna. So sadhana is a regular part. It's like on a university, you enroll and then you study, and then at the end you have a graduation exam. But sometimes university gives honorary degree, honorary PhD to some very deserving member of society. So kripa siddha is like that. Some persons, even without really serious practice, can get it by special mercy of devotee. Like Prabhupada, for example, Jayananda Thakur. I think he is a good example. He really deserved it. And Prabhupada gave him his mercy. And Brahmananda and these souls who completely and selflessly sacrificed themselves for the mission, they might have attained kripa siddha. But are we in that category? If we are not, then we better take the normal path, which is Vaidhi Bhakti Sadhana. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he describes Nam Sadhana, the system for the cultivation of the name, of the holy name. There he says, there are two types of chanters practicing sadhaka. There are those who are practicing the sadhakas, and there are those who attain perfection, siddhas. So among the practitioners, among the sadhakas, again there are two types. First type is called preliminary, and second type is called continuous. So the preliminary sadhakas, they start to increase their chanting until they chant constantly without break. When that is attained, that is called continuous. So he further says, the preliminary devotee does not have a taste for chanting because of the bitter contamination of ignorance, but by constantly chanting rounds and tulsi beads, the devotee attains the continuous stage where the respect for the name grows. At that stage, the person does not want to give up chanting the name. He doesn't want to stop chanting. So this is the test. Once we finish our rounds, are we very happy? Okay, now I can do whatever I want. I finished my rounds. Or we are sorry that we have finished. By constantly chanting with respect, a taste for the name is born. At that time, sin, the seed of sin or desire, and the root, ignorance, are all destroyed. And then he further points out that in preliminary stage, devotees should be very careful to avoid offenses. And he chants without offenses. When the preliminary stage is passed, the constant chanting, Nam Ruchi, the taste for the name, and Jiva Doya, compassion for the living entities, will come into his heart. So how does one get the faith in the holy name? Well, on the strength of performing many actions favorable to devotion, punya karma, I think a couple of classes ago I spoke about that, the faith in the process of bhakti eventually arises in the heart. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if, however, he takes instruction from a mixed devotee or a semi-devotee, it will be very difficult for him to attain prema. And in this condition, he says, he must spend many births as a neophyte devotee, as Kanishta Adhikari. Who wants to be Kanishta for many lifetimes? So what is the cure? So he says that this Kanishta, in order to remove the fickleness from his heart, he must learn the process of deity worship from authorized bona fide guru. And by performing such deity worship for a long time, the faith in the name will develop. And then, when the faith in the holy name is developed, he will start chanting the name in good association. So this is one path for those who are less fortunate. But then he says, there is another path for those who are more fortunate. There is a different process for those fortunate souls who have exclusive faith in the name of Krishna from the beginning of life. He who take up chanting seriously is from the beginning a Madhyam Adhikari, as he has understood the real spiritual nature of the name. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Lord Chaitanya's instruction to the residents of Kulinadram. When they ask him, who is a Vaishnava? Lord Chaitanya answers, Krishna Nam Nirantar Janhar Vadane Se Vaishnava Shrestha Bhajat Janhar Charane. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. In the purport to that shloka, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they explain actually that this Vaishnava Shrestha here is actually Madhyama Adhikari. Madhyama Adhikari is the one who has attained the stage of continuous chanting. And the Uttama Adhikari is the one whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. So further in Chaitanya Shikshamita Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the Madhyam Adhikari increases his chanting day and night till he chants 174 rounds a day. I don't want to make you depressed, but this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. 174 rounds is 3 lakhs, 300,000 names. So the chanting gives him such a bliss that he cannot exist without it. Though he cannot count his rounds by sleeping and performing other bodily functions, he chants at those times without counting. So here we have this theme of constant chanting as the universal cure for all types of material and spiritual problems. So do we sometimes feel stuck in our chanting? Do we sometimes feel that we are really not making enough advancement, as much advancements as we would like? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Keno Hare Krishna Nam Hari Bole Mano Prang Kandena. Oh, why does my heart not weep from chanting the holy name Hare Krishna? Kandena, Keno, why it doesn't weep? Bhagavatam is the answer. Because it's still framed. Why it is still framed? Because of the offenses, because of the namaparadas that we have committed. So what is the way to dissolve this all-pervasive, contagious disease called namaparada? Padma Purana gives the solution. It says, namaparada yuktanam namanyeva harantyagam avishanta paryuktani tanyavarta karani cha. For those infected with the nama parad, holy name will certainly remove the sin, provided the sadhaka chant tirelessly and unremittingly, unceasingly. Holy name himself will effect their deliverance. So this is Swarga Khand, Padma Puran, prescribing continuous chanting as the cure for those who cannot overcome nama parad. So we know Shishakshtaka, Trinabhisnamichina, Taravis, Sahishnana, Amanya, Manhadina, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. If we always chant these first three lines, but we forget about the last line, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. Sada means always. The Kirtan of Hari should be performed always. The holy name of the Lord should be chanted constantly. So 16 rounds is a minimum that was given to us, but doesn't mean that we should stop there. Actually, increase is the progressive principle, the principle of the spiritual world. So somehow or other, we should try to increase. I remember there's one letter from 1974, I think. Jipitaka Maharaj, he asked Srila Prabhupada whether he should learn Bengali. And the answer was surprising. Prabhupada says, it's too late to become a scholar now. If you got some free time, just chant Hare Krishna. The life is very short. Of course, Maharaj, he learned the Bengali anyway and proved very useful in his preaching. But the point I'm trying to make, if you got some free time, we should chant Hare Krishna. This is the best investment we can make. So we don't need to stop at 16. We should try. If you got any free time, we should try to chant more. I know that we are all very busy people, but even if we don't have any time, by doing other things without the japa, by doing household chores, for example, by cooking, cleaning, one can chant the holy name. Of course, if you have a maid and she is cleaning and cooking, then you're not doing these things, but then you're supposed to have some free time because you're hiring the maid. By walking, by bathing, riding a bicycle, doing so many things, we can still chant. I remember when my friend, he told me when he just joined the temple, he was so fired up that he said that he was chanting all the time. He was cleaning the temple, doing this, doing that. He would just chant and chant and chant. He was in complete bliss. And during the night, he was dreaming that he was chanting. And then when he would wake up in the morning, the other devotees, they told him, you were disturbing us this night. You were chanting in your dream. He was so fired up. Somehow later he lost it. He got distracted. But just to illustrate, it's actually possible if one desires. If there is a desire, there is a way. So, in this class I just had this point that life is short and we should not waste our time but try to surrender to Krishna and His most merciful inclination, the holy name, as much as we can. We are at the end of 2 weeks of holy name week, bi week. It's actually not holy name week. It's not even holy name month or year. It's a holy name lifetime. Okay, I'll stop here. If you have any questions or comments, I can take. Yes, Raviraj Prabhu. There's a mic.
Hari Bol. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the last chapter, in the Shishtashrak prayers, Lord Chaitanya is explaining. He says very nice thing about this, what you said, the constant chanting. He is saying, khaite, shuite, yata tatha namle, like sleeping and eating. Like in any activity, who always chants, if somebody is always chanting all the time, he will very easily attain Krishna prem. Like, he's like sahajai, he says, like very easily.
Very easily, very yeah, easily. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, through continuous chanting, it's actually fast, but just we are not chanting continuously. That's why we are not attaining it. That's why we are dragging ourselves year after year. But somehow or other, if we could make it to break through and start chanting continuously, the bhava and prema will naturally develop in our heart. So we need to associate with those who have this desire, and then we might get fired up also, and that will be it. Thank you. Anything else?
One more short one.
Yes.
Yeah. You said about faith, how to get that faith. I was hearing like by hearing the glorification of the holy name from a person who has faith in the holy name, we also get the faith.
Yes, that's
the
true.
Same what you said. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, Madhaji. Yes, sorry.
General question.
Switch on.
Yeah,
thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. My question is general question. Why, when Krishna is all powerful and very opulent, why did he allow his devotee to be in distress in this material world?
Sorry, can you repeat? I just couldn't get it. Can somebody repeat? why Krishna is all powerful and all opulent, why he is
giving distress,
why he is putting devotees in distress. It's not Krishna. It's our choice to come here. It's our choice to enjoy. It's our choice to commit sinful activities. And then we are suffering just because of results of karma. It's not Krishna's desire. It's not Krishna. It's us who caused this. I think once Prabhupada said, you are the one who created this material world. Because of our desire to enjoy, we are put here. Krishna is just fulfilling our desire. He actually wants us back much more than we want. He wants us back. So we should not never blame Krishna. He just gave us opportunity to fulfill our desires. And then because we are under the law of karma, we are suffering. But there is a way out. And the holy name is the way out. So we just should take that opportunity and finish this material existence. Is that okay?
Is it not due to his previous karma? Is it not due to his previous karma when devotee is suffering or in distress?
Yeah, we are suffering because of our previous fruitive activities, pious and sinful activities we are suffering. We caused our present situation. Our previous life is direct cause of our present life situation. So it's not Krishna who did things that we did in our previous life. We are those who did these things. But in spite of these things, he's given us opportunity to get out of this cycle of samsara. He's given opportunity in the form of devotional service, in the form of his holy name, in the form of the devotees. So we should take it as his mercy. He wants to save us. He's our well-wisher and friend. He doesn't like to see anybody suffering. Actually, he's very sorry to see that we are suffering. He's very compassionate. So that's why he's coming as his holy name, as devotees, as spiritual master. He's coming to save us. So we should just take his help and get out of here as soon as possible. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.